between Laos and Vietnam, I mean, look, we're talking millions of barrels onshore. Generally, this looks like a sedimentary foreland basin. If you think of Western Canada, that's a foreland sedimentary basin. So again, we're tens of millions of barrels in there, you know.
It's a lot of work.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous when you start to talk, oh, we're talking so many hundred million barrels.
Delaine Weeks, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Andy, and I'm really good, and I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you today.
No, I appreciate it, and just I want to give a full disclosure. I am Delaine Weeks, and Inquire Resources is a new sponsor to our show, naturalresourcestocks.net, and to the site, as well as I am soon to be an investor, and I want this to drop before I start buying up shares, which I will be doing. I'll be averaging it in the next few weeks. So that's a full disclosure. Delaine, you have a fantastic story about oil. Let me give us a 30,000 foot view on that story. And where are we at? Whatever you can talk about.
Okay. Thanks, Andy. Oil and gas, first of all, we've been in Cambodia since 2010. And although we started out with minerals, the expertise of our management team is really in oil and gas for decades and decades. So Cambodia does not have any onshore oil production. So they import everything. And we've spent several years researching all the oil and gas concessions in Cambodia. And we are now proceeding with getting the approval from the government for a funded program to explore, develop, and produce what we think would be Cambodia's first onshore oil and gas production. So that's the snapshot of where we've been for the last couple of years. And in fact, tomorrow morning, we're having a meeting with the ministry on exactly that topic. We've given them a proposal to say, here's what we're doing, here's how we're going to do it, here's how we're going to fund it, and we would like to advance.
Well, I'm probably early here in saying this, but I want to just say congratulations. This is such a wonderful story. We've talked alone in person, well, I should say in Zoom, about this. And that's really why I'm so very interested in your company. This specific project, as well as what it's doing for the country. If you could, why is this important to Cambodia? Please tell us that.
Any country having its own energy source domestically positions itself in a whole different development level. So if you think about it, most of the developing nations have their own source of energy. Well, Cambodia doesn't when it comes to hydrocarbons. So imagine that leap when suddenly the country, which by the way is surrounded by oil and gas producers on all four sides of it, Vietnam, Laos, Thailand, and then offshore. So they're sitting there right in the midst of this, and our research has shown very, very significant oil seeps and source rock and et cetera, et cetera. But imagine when suddenly you've got reservoirs that are millions of barrels beneath your surface that you can take the best of technology from around the globe and have a low carbon footprint and suddenly have economics like you have never had before as a country. So doing this, it's not just going to be a company maker, it's a country maker. It changes the entire dynamics, the economics of that country, and the opportunities for, we're upstream when we're exploring, midstream and downstream enterprises that go with the energy production. It's very, very profound, and we're excited to to be able to advance it.
Yeah, you're. I can detect a little bit of emotion there, and that's really good because it seems like this is almost a life work, if you would. Years of putting in the work to make it happen, and it seems like we're getting close to the goal line here. So if you would walk, when we talked about this in our previous interview, talk to me about the process now, what you can talk about, and if you can, a timeline and plan for this project, if you can talk about it.
Well, I can tell you what we're working on. Nothing is definitive until it is signed, sealed, delivered, and funds are where they should be. So that's always a condition, but we've been working on this, like you said, initially, for almost a decade ago, and then moving towards this license just before COVID, and then getting the assignment for Block 8 in place during COVID, and now putting a funder in place so that we can advance it. But initially, we'll complete all the standard environmental impact assessments, and then we will advance with some preliminary magnetics on the, we're focusing on the areas where there's oil seeps, but ultimately we want to cover, we believe that there's five different basins there in on that license. So we'll cover those. And as quickly as we can, we will move towards 2D seismic. 2D seismic will confirm where we see variations in the substructure, and then we can either proceed with additional 2D or go to 3D seismic and then right into an exploratory well. So if everything falls into place, we would hope to start this early 2025, and then advance to environmental assessments. Always take a couple of months, but we can do some other work from off the earth, above the ground until then. And so I would hope that we're into magnetics Q1 of 2025. We're looking at laying out a seismic program by the latter part of, right after the rainy season. We can lay it out during the rainy season and then execute it. But we'll try to accelerate. We'll try to put 2 years into one, just because it seems prudent to do so, and it would be exciting to be able to drill within 30 months of startup.
Right. Okay. So you're cramming a lot in there really quick. And so really my question is, it seems like that everyone, not only you and your team, but it seems like the government in Cambodia is very motivated to get this done, correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure. I mean, the government has a position where they want to make sure that their T's are crossed. And honestly, developing countries are really scrutinized right now by everyone else in the world and social media. So they want to make sure it's done right. Yeah. One of the benefits that we have is the expertise that we've had in Canada for, well, decades, and we capture our carbons on our production operations in Canada. We would like to bring that same kind of forward thinking, let's do this better attitude right from day one when we start in Cambodia, and position them as a country in Southeast Asia that's actually leading the way on environmentally and responsibly developing an industry. Look, there's lots of criticism of oil and gas and being the scourge of the earth, but hydrocarbons still provide 80% of our globe, of the energy in it. So doing it well is the only way forward. We can't not do it. You can't live today without energy and without things like copper. We have a lifestyle that we expect to be able to continue. So it's really important that we set great standards as we move forward, and we're early in, but we're also the first chargers. And so setting a precedent and a template for the rest of the country is also really important to us. And that means bringing best practices from everywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure that's meaningful to the powers that be that you're working with. So good on you. Let me ask you this. I want to make sure I have clarity. You're hoping to go into production within 30 months. Is that correct? Is that what you said?
Our deal with the government is up to 6 years before we're actually producing.
Okay.
But we tend to under-promise and over-deliver. So if we can do our magnetics, our seismic, and have our resources in place so that we can drill, and we can do that in half the time, we're going to do that in half the time. So that's the plan, is to kind of go, okay, if there's all sorts of issues, it may take longer, but our goal is, yeah, to be drilling by 30 months. 30 to 36 months, actually having a drill in the ground. And I mean, we don't know till some of these other things come into place. We make it amazing seismic and go, well, we got these seeps, we got this source rock analysis, and we've got this seismic processed and analyzed. So therefore, we can go sooner. We just need to use the science and move forward in a methodical method.
Got it. So for those who haven't seen the previous interview, what kind of oil is around there, meaning how much production is around there and that you can comment on? That you think you guys will potentially hit?
Well, I was between Laos and Vietnam. I mean, look, we're talking millions of barrels onshore. Generally, this looks like a sedimentary foreland basin. If you think of Western Canada, that's a foreland sedimentary basin. So again, we're tens of millions of barrels in there, you know.
It's a lot of work.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous when you start to talk, oh, we're talking so many 100 million barrels. People kind of go, you know, where are they at here? But the reality is when you start doing the research in the formations of hydrocarbons from millions of years ago, it is what it is. We have significant resources underground. And it just boils down to identifying them, making sure that they're of commercial quantity, and then producing them in a manner that doesn't drain the reservoir, that is very, very responsible and give you maximum long-term growth.
Yeah. So let me switch a little bit and just ask about the company. You guys are cash flowing right now. Correct me if I'm wrong.
We are. We have been cash flowing since January 2024. That cash flow comes from two areas. We had done a small carbon capture, taking all the emission gases from a play in Evesham, Saskatchewan, channeling that into a gas processing facility, and then selling that to the province. Now, the prices of natural gas are very, very low, so the profitability on that is when we started it, it was $9. And now it's kind of down to two. And so, but nevertheless, it's the right thing to do. And we've got lots of capacity there. We're only at about 12% of what we could be doing. So if other producers around us that are flaring or venting, we could take those emissions. We need a pipeline to do so and connect them to our facility. So that's one. The second one was to actually acquire the oil production and the water disposal facilities of those same wells, and we have a 40% position with that as well, and that's giving us it varies based on the price of oil and a whole variety of topics, but we've seen a general incline from, I think, January 2024 was about 70,000 a month, and then we're up to 128,000 last month. And so it's growing gradually, and we're also putting in additional water injection. So if you think about this, production, you pull oil, water, gas out of the ground, it all comes together, and you take the oil off and the water, if you re-inject that back into the ground, what do you end up with? You end up with a good pressure underground. And so in order to produce oil, you need to have pressure. And so we look to always replace the water and even supplement it from other producers, and so that we can keep that pressure up. And that then increases production gradually. So we'll continue doing that. It doesn't happen overnight. But this will be the end of our first year by the end of December. And we're happy with the results, and we would continue to do those kind of things moving forward. So,
yeah, I used to be a junior partner in some oil wells in the Midwest. So I know exactly what you're talking about as far as water pressure, as well as I know what you're talking about. I don't want to say gradual because it's actually very lucrative, but it doesn't happen, if that makes sense. It is a compounding of months. But if you look at the big picture, it does happen relatively quickly. It does, but you want it to compound again. That's the key over months. So,
absolutely.
So,
thanks, Addy. And we would also look for additional opportunities in the area to expand production. So not just the gas collection and emissions collection, but also there may be some other opportunities that we could take a portion of a production play that would add to it. So we'll just see what 2025 brings.
Locally in Canada, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Exciting times. And I guess what also, if you want to comment a little bit about, you're really a Canadian, but also I would say what's really exciting, and Canada is very exciting, don't get me wrong, but really your big Cambodia play, really with the oil, with the oil well, but also you're delving into where you have some mineral rights there. You're starting to explore for gold and silver, correct me if I'm wrong. And what's the plan with that?
Certainly. So we have two great teams, and they just kind of crunch along concurrently. And at the mineral place, we have three mineral licenses. We have identified several copper-gold porphyry systems in northeast Cambodia, up in Ratanakiri province. So we look to be drilling that this year. And yes, there are gold plays as well, and we would like to be drilling those. I mean, everybody's keen on gold and copper right now, and pretty excited, and we are as well. However, we've diversified for a purpose to say, if there's any hiccups in the market, it protects us a little bit from being vulnerable. And so I think it mitigates the risk for our shareholders, and we are big shareholders. I'll say this right up front. Our insiders are, I think we've got insiders and close friends and family. We're just under 45%. So we've certainly put our money where our mouth is. We want to be moving this along in every way possible and making sure that we've covered our bases. So that was the reason for putting the revenue streams in place, so that we didn't have to dilute if things went haywire in the market. And as well, to have great upside on copper, gold, and other minerals that are well into their exploration phases now. And as well, being it in an environmentally responsible manner. And that's where we go with the carbon on the projects as well. So the mineral ones are exciting because there's great upside. I mean, and who knows what will happen with gold. We first got into it and gold was closer to $1,000 an ounce. But even then, it was certainly attractive. I mean, that's what gold does. Gold does something to people. I mean, it's this eternal tangible good that people like to say, oh, I've got some gold. I got some gold and bullion, right? And so yeah, gold is gold. But to be honestly, copper is probably the metal that I think we just cannot live without it.
I would agree. 100%. I agree. But I guess let me just talk to all of the viewers and listeners that are going to watch this is why I'm very interested and will be acquiring shares after this drops, 24 hours after this drops. Well, I plan on 24 hours after this drops. Is I love that you're cash flowing. Very important. So as you said, it diversifies risk, but I'd love to see money coming in. And then when and if you dilute, and I'm assuming that's going to happen, but that's through furthering the project along, which is absolutely what should happen. So I'm very, very pleased about that. So you check that box and then just where you're at. And I think that's such a huge story. You guys have put in all the work in Southeast Asia, in Cambodia. And I'm just very, very pleased about that. And again, as I mentioned, I don't want to say too much just for legal reasons, but sounds like you're getting very close as a room. Since I'm very pleased and about. So, Dwayne, if people want to buy your company, buy your stock, where are you traded? What's your stock ticker and what's your website?
Sure. AnchorResources.com is our website. In the U.S., OTC under ANKOF. In Canada, on the TSX Venture under ANK.
Thank you so much. And I'd love to have you on again here in the new year and we'll see where everything is at.
Sure. That sounds great, Andy. Thanks again for taking the time to chat with us here and have a great holiday season.
Yeah, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.